The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcast, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a fun show for you today. This is an area we're going to talk about that we really haven't talked about specifically. I mean, we've kind of glanced over it in the past, but we're really focusing on it today. We're talking about industrial commercial real estate. And this is a hot area right now. So, whereas office buildings and some other commercial entities, retail and so forth, are going through some real tough times, this is an area that is booming right now. So we have an expert here. His name is Michael Hernandez, and he works as a commercial real estate broker in Los Angeles, right down the street from me here, with Lee & Associates, one of the nation's largest agent-owned commercial real estate firms. Michael specializes in multi-tenant and single-tenant industrial properties and land. He advises clients with in-depth market knowledge and strategies to achieve their real estate needs, including expansion, consolidation, disposition, and exchange. Within the first 6 months of starting his business, Michael closed a transaction that resulted in a $12 million industrial deal. Michael lives in Cypress, California with his wife and three children. They enjoy bike riding at the many beautiful beaches Southern California has to offer. Well, Michael, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Bill, thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, no, it's great. Well, you're not an old dog, so I'll make that clear right now. We do allow young pups on the show, but you've got a long ways to go here to reach that status. But, hey, we're not going to hold it against you, okay, you know?
Not a problem.
I'm really excited to hear from you. We kind of start off, though, just letting our guests kind of give us their background and how you end up in this type of real estate. And, I know it sounds like you grew up in the Southern California area and just kind of give us just a little rundown on who Michael Hernandez is.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I grew up in the Bay Area. My family and I moved down to Southern California about 4 years ago. I'm actually a Bay Area guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, we won't hold that against you.
No problem. Not a problem. So actually, prior to me getting into commercial real estate, I was in the construction industry. I was doing a commercial HVAC installation. So I was working on these industrial buildings as opposed to leasing or selling them. And, you know, normally I'm not accident prone, but when I was in the commercial or when I was in the construction industry, I started getting hurt on the job. And I almost fell through a roof, but prior to falling, I was able to catch myself. Before then, I had another accident where I was working on a ladder, and I didn't realize that the ladder was faulty. And about, you know, 4 feet up, I had just cut into a metal duct. I had my arm in the duct. And when I reached for my flashlight, the ladder swung out underneath me.
Oh,
and,
gee.
Yeah. And I ended up hitting the duct. And when I hit the ground, I thought I severed a nerve because my arm was numb from my elbow down to my pinky. But I was fortunate just to have a pinched nerve instead. But, yeah, during that time, though, my wife was pregnant with our third child. And after that accident, she's like, I think it's time for you to use your education and get a different job. Like, yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. So again, just saying I'm not usually accident prone, but I believe a week or so after that accident, I dislocated my shoulder body surfing.
Oh, man, it was not your year. Gosh.
It was not. So I think there's a bunch of things that led up to maybe slow down a little bit and reevaluate. So after that accident, I had some time on my hands. So I actually reached out to a friend of mine who was in commercial real estate. And I asked him about property management. I was interested in that. And he actually suggested a brokerage. And, you know, he said that because of my construction knowledge, I probably do well in industrial real estate. So I did some research and spoke to my wife about it. And we decided, you know, that'd be a great career change. I studied and took the test. And, you know, while I was on disability, my friend introduced me to the broker, Lee & Associates in Long Beach. I interviewed and he said, come on board after your wife has the baby. And I did. Started a new career a few months after my wife had the baby.
Wow. That's awesome. That's great. Now, what was your education in school?
I studied psychology and communications at UC Davis. I was on baseball scholarship.
Oh, cool. That's great. That's great. Well, definitely communication is key in your industry. That's for sure. Man, oh, man. So you started off there. Now, how does it, you know, how is it for like a first time, you know, new broker in a, you know, commercial firm like that?
It was an adjustment. You know, I did have the knowledge of the buildings, but it took me, you know, a transition period to understand the business and see the relationship part of the business. Prior to the construction, though, out of college, I did have a few sales jobs along with some administrative jobs. So I wasn't totally foreign to the meeting people, communicating, and you know, that aspect of the business. So it was just a matter of me, you know, remembering those or building up those skill sets again as I started talking to individuals about, you know, their real estate needs and just building those relationships.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, I would imagine, too. That, you know, you're starting in a brand new industry. So what do you do? Just basically just get on the phone and just start pounding the pavement, right?
Yeah, I actually was partnered with, you know, a team, and they were telling me, hey, go out, go cold call, knock on doors, you know, pass out flyers, get on the phones, you know, all the fun stuff that these brokers like to do now, right? Cold calling and all that. So
now did you start in industrial right away, or were you doing something else initially?
No, I started industrial right away.
So what do? You like go to a big warehouse and start banging on the metal doors there? I mean, I picture it's people going into, you know, the neighborhoods, I understand, you know, but what are you doing? You're looking for warehouses and stuff.
So utilize Google Earth and you utilize Google Maps, and you'd look at the certain areas that have industrial, and then you pick a certain area and go on and get your business cards and go knock on the doors and talk to tenants, owner users. And then if you want to try to find the owners, you know, research them and give them a call and see if they're interested in selling their building and go from there. Same concept, just on a larger scale or bigger building than you would a residential house.
Do you have sort of your equivalent of driving for dollars, what we call driving for dollars, where we drive down neighborhoods and you look for a house that's got, you know, weeds all around it and stuff, you know, that either it's abandoned or somebody, you know, it's not taking, it looked like a good, you know, it looks like a good candidate to buy cheaply, you know?
Absolutely. You look at, you know, you drive the market. That's what they call it. You drive in the market and you're taking a look at buildings that look interesting. If something's vacant, you know, why is it vacant? If you see a guy's busting out the seams of his space, he's stacking product, it's like, okay, this guy needs to expand, you know. He's probably too focused on his business, not really concerned about, you know, getting the additional space, that, you know, at that point. So then it's about making that introduction and seeing how you can help someone in that point with their real estate need of expansion.
Now, I probably should ask you this a little bit earlier. Could you define what industrial commercial real estate is? What falls into that category?
Sure. You have multi-tenant industrial. So you have your small businesses. It could be, you know, carpentry, not so much automotive. That's kind of a little different, but it still falls into the commercial side. You have your warehousing, your distribution of various products, general merchandise. It could be food. It just varies. And then you also have the land side, land aspect, where you have trucking companies that need to park containers or, you know, park their trailers. That falls into the industrial market as well. Logistics.
And warehousing, I imagine, a big part of the industrial side, right?
Absolutely. And that's huge right now, especially after, you know, 2020, the whole COVID, where everything shifted toward e-commerce and online, where you now have companies that were forced in a way to stay alive, to make that transition to e-commerce or online sales. So now these individuals or these businesses need to be able to have the warehouses to have all this product and to be able to fulfill that need that's in demand right now.
Now, I'm used to seeing, you know, just even here in Orange County, you know, just driving down the street and all of a sudden there's this huge Amazon warehouse, for example. I mean, they're just going up all over the country. But these are not just Amazon type, you know, folks. These are other people that are doing e-commerce and selling large quantities of items as well, right?
That is correct. It's not just Amazon. You do have a lot of companies that, you know, they're picking up new accounts or they now transition to e-commerce or online business with their products. And now because, you know, everyone's doing online shopping, it's like now they need to house more product.
Now, you're at the Long Beach area, for people that aren't familiar with Southern California. I mean, that's, I imagine, would be a pretty hot area because of the Port of Los Angeles that's right there in San Pedro, right? I mean, I would imagine in terms of, you know, items coming in off the boat, that moving it into a warehouse that's close by would be a real premium, I would think.
Absolutely. The closer you can get to the ports, the better. And especially around those areas that would allow truck parking. Those are definitely hot areas.
Right. Tell me about, you know, you got started in the city. Now, you've been doing it for how long?
I'm in my third year in the business.
Awesome. Awesome. And you mentioned some of these other areas maybe you could help define too, in terms of, you know, you're talking about expansion, consolidation, disposition, and exchange. How did those affect you? Now, expansion, I could probably figure they need more space, right? But what are some of the other areas?
Sure. We have individuals, you know, they may need a downsize. So we come across those where they were in a bigger space and they did take the hit because of COVID. So, you know, that 50,000 square foot building they were in, you know, they, because of COVID, now are able to do their business at, you know, 25,000 square foot building. With building owners, there's so much change going on right now. And, you know, you may have some, I've come across owners who've told me, like, I'll never sell my building. And then months later, I see it on the market. And it's like, you don't know what happened with, you know, that individual, you know, and I've come across that too, where someone may have passed away or that owner passed away. Building goes to the spouse or the children, you know, they don't want to deal with that anymore. So they're looking to sell an asset.
Right.
And then you also have on the other side where others, you know, are looking to invest or buy property, and they need to exchange into other properties as well.
Yeah, I think one thing that people don't maybe understand or look at, that's very obvious is, how do people make money off of these, these industrial properties? Because, it's easy to look at an apartment building and figure out, people are going to pay X, dollars of rent each month, and you can kind of calculate, the square footage and so forth. But with a warehouse, for example, I just hear this is like the best kept secret in real estate, that people are just killing it, with what they're making and operating a warehouse. And how do you assess the value of that building? Is it based on, how just strictly square footage, or are there other, key factors that help you project, what kind of income that building can generate?
Yeah, absolutely. You take into factors, the neighborhood, the area, how close there are to freeways. The closer you get to the ports, the more premium or pricier the price is per square foot. Buildings that have dock high, those are a high commodity. Buildings that have smaller square footages, 10,000 a square foot and less, that have dock high, those are extremely valuable because not a lot of those buildings exist. Same thing with land. You take that into account. There was a deal that I came across, a couple weeks ago. It was on a corner lot close to the port in the city of Wilmington. And this particular lot would allow for truck container parking. And they brought it to market. The listing brokers had brought it out to market on a Thursday. By the following Tuesday, they had 5 offers on it.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, and then the pricing for the, and people will pay because those are premiums right now, because there's so much demand for the logistics, these containers. And so it's like rent, rent on the land used to be around 35, 45 cents. Now you're seeing where, they're willing to pay 60, 65 cents a square foot on the dirt. And, there's not a lot of maintenance required on that. You then switch over to multi-tenant buildings, you look at the square footage of each unit and then, compare that to other buildings in the area and what they're getting in rent. And, sometimes there's definitely some value add opportunities. If you have an owner that hasn't increased the rent and you have a tenant in there paying, 85 cents a square foot, in market right now is $1.10 a square foot. I mean, that's huge upside.
Yeah, not kidding. And there are, doesn't seem like there would be, a real major improvements that would have to be made. I mean, they're just basically, metal sheeting, right? I mean, I guess it depends. Some could be pretty nice, but, like an enclosed type warehouse, I wouldn't think that there'd be a lot. I don't know. I guess if it's really rusted out and stuff, it could probably, take some major work. But are there sort of value add, opportunities in your market for people that are interested in that type of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And then those industrial buildings, they're not necessarily just metal buildings. There are metal buildings, but you also have your stucco, your masonry, you have your concrete tilt up. So these particular buildings are nice and they have those units. So just the upkeep, similar to some, they want to have, decent flooring in their office, paint, to where it looks decent. But a lot of times with these work, they're not too concerned about the aesthetics because that's not their focus. They just need to be able to have, that rectangular box so they can store their product or get their product out. So they need the functional docks. They need to make sure the doors are working smoothly. They need to make sure that their phone electricity is working. So there's not a lot of maintenance going on with some of these buildings. For those that do have the, distribution buildings, functional docks or functional, or, may need to repave the yard to make it last longer, things like that. But, there's not too much going into these types of these buildings to get them, market ready or to get them, as aesthetically pleasing, like to some of the other buildings.
Is there a shortage of storage in I guess you can only talk about your market specifically, but I mean, in your area, where there's, you know, right now there's not enough space?
Correct. There's not. You have, there's a high demand for space right now, and there's not a lot of products available. I'll give you some examples. There's, you know, you'll have an industrial building that's, you know, distribution building coming available. You have brokers marketing out, you know, 12 months from now, and you already have, you know, offers on the table to take them. So, you know, when something hits the market, there's, you know, it's gone because there's not a lot of availability right now. So there's just not enough product out there, but you do have that demand.
Right. Well, obviously you've got to be in the industry to know, like me knowing absolutely nothing about industrial, to buy a warehouse and to try to find people to, you know, to rent my warehouse or to use my warehouse, I would think would be, you definitely have to have contacts in the various transportation industries or whatever it would be that would fill that, that facility for you, right?
Well, you know, that's where you would contact someone like myself who focuses and specializes in that. So we have our sources where we can reach people. We have our own personal contacts. But when you put out the, you know, let's say, for example, you purchase your industrial building, let's say it's a single tenant, you know, you put your sign out there, or you would hire a company like my, you know, like us to put our sign out there, and we would get calls. We would then, you know, reach out to all the brokers in the area, like, hey, this building's available, you know, bring us a tenant. And then, you know, that's how you as an owner, you're not doing that yourself per se. You're utilizing your resources or your contacts, your broker, you know, to bring in those deals. And we could be able to definitely tell you, like, hey, you're probably wanting to have this type of user in your building, and kind of guide you and steer you on pricing and type of use you'd want and so forth.
Do you have a lot of international clients?
Actually, I'm working with a guy right now. They're actually in Canada and they're expanding into the U.S. So I do have a handful of them, yes.
The people that are using these facilities, you talk about mainly containers. So, I mean, are there major shipping companies or, you know, that are looking for this space, you know, I would imagine all the time, right? To be able to unload their product off of the, you know, the big freighters that come and deliver those things. I mean, tell me a little bit more sort of the operational side of that.
Sure. You have, that's one aspect of the industrial. You have the logistics side, those that have the trucks, the containers, and they go to the distribution centers. But you also have, you know, your small businesses. You know, you have a company that makes, you know, widgets. You know, they need to have a warehouse and a space to store their widgets and sell those. Then you have another company, you know, clothing company. They need a space to make their clothing. So they fall into the industrial. So it varies across, you know, screen printing, you know, that's another aspect. Or printing companies, you know, they need the warehouse so they have their machines so they can print, you know, the paper. So there's various aspects of the industrial that, you know, that it's not just the logistics side. That is one facet of it, but you do encompass a lot of different companies and industries and uses.
Yeah, so maybe they're ordering, you know, offshore stuff too, I would imagine. And yeah, it could be just somebody that's doing local business that just needs space, right?
Correct.
Or considerable amount of space. Interesting. So you're, you mentioned if you got somebody that owns the facility, people can contact brokers to find tenants. Are you talking about brokers like yourself that would know the tenant side as well?
Correct. So like for me, I do both the tenant rep, landlord rep. And I've, you know, in my networking, you know, built up my database for tenants and then also with landlords. So if landlord says, hey, I want to lease my building, we'll get more information. Okay, you know, I'll guide you on rate. And this is probably what's, you know, you can rent your space for in the area. Here's the type of uses. I have, you know, XYZ company that probably would be a good fit for you. Let's put a sign out there. We'll put it on the, you know, commercial MLS per se. So this reaches out other brokers. And then, so now your property is out there. And then you have not only my contacts, but you have other brokers seeing that building. And then they have their contacts and their tenants that they're representing, and then now they're contacting, you know, me per se to help find the tenant for that space.
Now, this includes, you know, tenants, I mean, people that would buy the building as well as people that would just lease the building, right?
Correct. So if you're talking leasing, yeah, this would be on the leasing side. It'd be the same thing for purchasing. You'd have your broker, you know, market your property, put it on the market for sale. And then, you know, same thing, reach out to the brokers, and then you'd have them reach out to you and like, hey, I got a buyer. You know, I have a requirement. This, you know, my client needs to exchange into this property, and, you know, this fits within, you know, his criteria of what he needs, you know. And that's when then, okay, well, let's look at the building and present an offer and bring it to the owner and see what he wants to do.
In 2020, I think most of us did a lot of self-reflection. For many, it was around personal growth, maybe career choices, personal finances, you name it. One topic that really surfaced post-2020 is giving back. How can we make a difference in someone else's life? And is it possible to do good for others while actually making money? I'm really glad to share with you that our new partner, Equity and Help, literally, well, it helps you do exactly that. Equity and Help grows your capital while helping others and shows how the simple act of investing can make a huge difference to American families. In addition to their 8 to 12% average return, which is a reward in itself, Equity and Help makes it possible to help a family in need. The mission of Equity and Help is to give families the realization of the American dream, to own a home of their own when they might otherwise have not been able to. They have already helped almost 400 families find their home. If you are interested in a philanthropic investment model with an average return of 8 to 12%, according to Equity and Help, and helping American families, you can speak to a so-called philanthro investor at Equity and Help. Just visit equityandhelp.com/podcast. Again, that's equityandhelp.com/podcast. Are there certain niches that are very hot? I mean, in your space?
Buildings with docks. Those are definitely hot commodities.
Loading docks you're talking about, right?
Correct. Yes, loading docks.
Okay, gotcha. And they don't all have that, right? That I admit, yeah, this sounds like it'd have to be something specially set up.
Some buildings do have it, some don't. Like your manufacturing buildings, they're not needing to have that. And you have your distribution buildings that are, you know, have a lot more docks where they're getting product out. So it just varies on the building. But again, you know, you have companies that may need a manufacturing building. So that they're not concerned about the docks because that's not their business per se. They're focusing on manufacturing versus the other companies, you know, they may need more docks because they need to get the product out. So it just varies, yeah, per business and per use.
What sort of, and this might be really a dumb question here because I'm sure there's different types of buildings and what have you, but what's sort of your average listing time on some of the, you know, properties that you're dealing with?
Man, right now they're going pretty quickly. There's buildings, you know, that I'm calling on representing tenants that just hit the market, and within months, you know, they got offers on the table, you know, within a month, it's already, you know, lease is out for signature. The lease has been out, you know, for a signature. So right now, because of the demand, there's a lot, it doesn't last very long. I want to say weeks. It seems like weeks right now where, you know, once a building is out, it's no longer available.
And what are the sort of, you know, you're Southern California, so where are the prime areas in Southern California for industrial?
Industrial, you're probably closer to the ports. So certain cities, you know, you got, you know, the South Bay market, you got Compton, Rancho Dominguez, you got Carson, you got closer to the ports, you got Wilmington, and then you can go further up to mid-counties area, you know, Paramount. Santa Fe Springs is another big industrial spot. And you can go further, going toward the Inland Empire. There's a lot of industrial out in the Inland Empire. But, you know, my focus is more on the South Bay market.
Right. Let's say there's, you know, somebody listening, for example, says, yeah, this sounds really interesting to me, but, you know, I have no background in industrial, but you know, it sounds like as far as a type of real estate to invest in, that there might be some great opportunities. How do people invest in, I mean, I know you could probably do a ground up project. You could buy an existing building, but, you know, again, you know, without having a common understanding, how do people usually get involved as investors?
Sure. I mean, if they're starting off, you know, it's just a matter of kind of figuring out what product type, you know, would make sense for you. If you want to have a building, you just want to have one tenant, or if you want to have a building, you can have, you know, two to three tenants, or multi-tenant, or you can have as much as, you know, 10 plus units in there. So it just depends on your comfort level and what, you know, product type would make sense. If you're wanting to focus, you know, have a land site to where you can have someone park containers on there, you know, that's a premium. Multi-tenant, you know, single-tenant buildings. For someone starting off, is probably, you know, a little bit more labor-intensive person. I don't want to say labor-intensive, but probably a little bit more focused to do ground up, you know, development. You would definitely need to have, you know, that type of real estate development company come in and kind of guide you. So you'd have to have a little bit more experience there. But I mean, as far as individuals wanting to come in and invest in multi-tenant or single-tenant buildings, you definitely could start small. I mean, some of these buildings, you know, they range from 5,000 square feet all upwards of, you know, 1 million square feet. So there's a lot of options and opportunities, just a matter of where you're at. And, you know, you gotta start somewhere. So you want to start at the 5,000 and then see how that goes, then grow to 10,000 or start at 10,000. There's a lot of options.
So, okay, so someone comes in and says, yeah, you know, I'm going to do the 5,000 square foot building. Don't they have to, okay, then think, well, what would this building be ideal for product-wise, or, you know, the type of company that they would appeal to? Do they do that kind of research to really look at, you know, considering its location and its square footage? You know, what would be a hot place to go? What would you do with it? If you bought that 5,000 square foot building, what would you do with it?
It depends where it was located. Obviously, if I got it closer to the port, you know, closer to the ports is like I mentioned earlier, is where you have more of a premium. But it just depends on the location. Is it close to a freeway? Is it close to one of the major freeways, you know, for people to access those buildings? You know, is this type of building, is it, you know, what type of business is this ideal for? You know, is it better for, you know, does this have street frontage where you do have your warehouse, your industrial, but it almost has like a faux retail look to where it's drawing customers in because you're doing wholesaling. So it just depends on the location, and then it can, you know, based upon that, you can kind of, you know, get better guided on type of business that would do well in that location. And that's where like someone like myself would like, okay, this particular type of business would do well. I know someone in that industry that could, who probably would buy that building or lease that building.
Right. And it's usually people that need a fair amount of space, obviously, or, yeah, or that kind of open space that, you know, you provide an industrial type building. Well, what kinds of, you know, mistakes would you say, you know, investors make? I'm sure you've seen, you know, success stories as well as people that maybe, you know, made some big mistakes that want to get into this space, but, you know, maybe they do it wrong. For example, what would you say is a common mistake that, that you've seen, investors especially get into?
Waiting. I've seen that actually with two examples. I had one client that was looking at it to purchase a building. Building was around $3 million, and then COVID hit, and he's like, "No, I'm going to wait." And that same building ended up being sold like a year or so later for like $6 million, or being listed for like $6 million. So I'm like, hey, it's there if you want it. But when you looked at it, you know, it was $3 million or $2 million less.
Crazy.
And then I had another guy where he was like, I talked to an owner. He was like, yeah, I bought my building, you know, at the time for like $150 a square foot. And he's like, and I thought I got ripped off. I was like, and he's like, I'm so glad I bought it when I did, because his building's now worth, you know, $220 or so more, you know, or $220 a square foot now.
Wow.
So he's like, I'm glad I bought when I did. So just because, you know, because we're in the times, you know, there's still opportunities out there. And that's why it helps, you know, to talk to brokers like myself to kind of guide you and like what's going on in the marketplace. And if we're saying, hey, this is probably a good time to buy, you know, prices, you know, during this whole COVID, we've seen prices continuing to rise, which is it's interesting. The market that we're in is very interesting and it's continuing to grow. It's continuing to rise and thrive. So if there is an opportunity, you know, it's probably a good time to take advantage of it.
With investors, you know, that have been very successful, what are some of the things that really stand out as something that gives you an advantage in this industry?
Well, one of the things is, you know, they take advantage of the opportunities they see. They're not waiting. You know, they're looking at opportunities and they're not afraid to make offers and, you know, see what happens. You know, I've had some clients that, you know, made some offers that were significantly lower than the asking, but, you know, owner or the seller, you know, they worked out an agreement where they came something in the middle. Others where they made an offer and they decided to go a different direction, seller decided to go a different direction, but that deal fell through and now they have an opportunity again. Their offer now resurfaced. So it's just a matter of, you know, sticking to, you know, your investment criteria and what works for you and just, you know, following up and making offers and taking advantage of these times.
Great. There may be people listening that are saying, this sounds interesting to me. And, but, you know, I'm more familiar with apartments or mobile home parks or self-storage or some of these other that are, you know, that are just get a lot more exposure. What would you say to these folks? Like, what are some of the benefits of investing in industrial real estate as opposed to, you know, some of these other areas?
You know, I'm glad you said that because, you know, the industry right now, industrial market is thriving. There's the industrial market has no sign of stopping. I read an article recently where 1 billion square feet of industrial space will be needed by 2025 because of the increase over the last year with online sales. So, I mean, wow. There's definitely a need for warehousing and distribution. But, you know, to get better educated, you know, talk to industrial brokers like myself and be able to educate you on, you know, what's going on in the marketplace, you know, what kind of buildings, you know, there's opportunities there. You'd mentioned, you know, public storage. You know, I spoke to an individual that's where he likes to invest and he builds, you know, public storage or those storage units, storage places. So if they have something there and they're interested in selling, I have, you know, I have a connection with that type of work also. So it's not just like industrial, it kind of encompasses like commercial, but there's definitely an opportunity within the industrial right now because of the market.
Do you see people converting industrial into other types of things like self-storage or other types of real estate where there's a stronger demand?
Yeah, you do have those that you do have older buildings and seller, you know, wants to sell that property. Those individuals that have the public storage will buy those sites, not necessarily for that building, but because of the location and the square footage of the land to where they'll tear it down and then they'll build new. You do have a lot of, you know, real estate developers doing the same thing, buy older buildings and tear them down and build new.
Right, just to convert the usage, huh?
Correct.
Wow, that's great. That's great. How would somebody go? Well, I guess you kind of answered that question. I think, you know, it's saying how would somebody go about learning about this? And you're saying, you know, really talk to a broker, and you would share what the opportunities are and what are the, you know, what kind of investments required and so forth. But I feel like there's definitely an education component here, especially for people like myself that have no idea, you know, how to enter into this space. You'd definitely want to get educated on it, I would think.
Absolutely. And that's why it helps to meet people and network and talk to individuals within that marketplace to learn about that industry. Because there, like I had mentioned, you know, there are definitely a lot of opportunities aside from the multifamily or the public storage or the motor homes. you know, sometimes it's not as management intensive either, but it still has, you know, still generates a good rate of return also.
Well, that's what I think, you know, as I'm listening to you, sounds like one of the appeals is that there wouldn't be as much required here. Even self-storage seems like it might be more involved than the, you know, than owning a warehouse, for example, you know, where somebody else is totally doing everything. they're just running your space, but you really don't have to do anything except clock rent, I would imagine.
Correct. And then I'm sure there's times where, you know, you'd be, it depends too, like how you structure the lease. You can have leases where, you know, your tenant, you know, covers certain aspects of the unit itself, where it really is not on you as the owner. So it all varies, and there's definitely a lot of opportunities. And yeah, you may have your moments where you'll have to do some work on the building, but it's not as much compared to other product types.
Right. Gosh, it seems like you're definitely in a great space, and you're well educated about it as well. What are your plans for the next, you know, 5-10 years down the road concerning what you do?
To grow. That's my plan. There's a lot of people out there with real estate needs, and I'm learning that more and more. And there's, you know, I want to help as many people as I can. You know, 2020 definitely affected, you know, a lot of people. Those who were able to thrive in the business, and those, you know, needed to make some changes. So there's, then you also have the other side too. You have a lot of companies acquiring properties, you know, real estate development companies looking to build. You know, I recently got in contact with multifamily developers who were asking me to help them find industrial land so they can entitle it and build. I mean, I had conversations with companies that were telling me they had, you know, tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to spend in 2021 for multifamily development. You know, I've had logistics owners telling me, you know, developers like, hey, find me some sites. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities, you know, for principals as well as companies as well to, you know, that they have those real estate needs. You know, I'm trying to, you know, get the information and help as many people as I can.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, we are kind of caught up on our time here. I didn't realize it. I looked down. I go, gee whiz, man, we're zipping by here. But we have a section we call our Wrap It Up. And that's where we ask you a series of different resources that you have accessed and, might be something that our listeners might be interested in. So if you're ready, are you ready to go ahead and wrap it up?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Favorite real estate book?
You know, I'd probably say Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's what got me excited about real estate. And I like that book. It was a good book.
That was my top of my list, too. How about just a general business book?
You know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book is key because it tells you or teaches you to, you know, be genuinely concerned about other people and to listen. And when you do, you become influential and people like you. And people like doing business with people they like. Mm-hmm. So to me, it makes sense to, you know, listen and, you know, be genuinely concerned with others. It's definitely a huge aspect, not only in business, but, you know, life itself.
Oh, that's great. How about the most valuable website for success for you personally?
For me, I utilize the sources that I have as a broker, but I mean, for investors looking to look at different properties, especially commercial, I'd probably suggest LoopNet. That's a good source for those to look at properties. The thing with LoopNet, though, is a lot of the buildings that are on there aren't necessarily updated. So if someone sees a building, they want to call on it, that building's more than likely gone. It's either leased or sold. Or they have, you know, it's an escrow or whatnot. But I would accompany that with Google Maps. So I would definitely look through that, find out what properties you like, and then go on Google Maps, enter that address, and use that little yellow, or that, you know, yellow guy in the corner, and do some street views and take a look at other buildings in the area and see what other buildings that are interested. That building that you looked on LoopNet may not be listed, but you know, the building down the street may be just as interesting, and who knows, that owner may be interested in selling also, just hasn't decided to put it on the market.
That's great. How about a favorite app that you use?
Again, like for me, I have my own like business sources that I use, like the CoStar and whatnot. That is strictly for the brokers. But for others, you know, LoopNet also has an app for people to be notified, similar to what you would see in like Realtor.com, but again, geared toward the commercial side.
Right. How about a favorite quote?
I'm going to quote, you know, the very wealthy King Solomon. I really like this. It's actually, I think, goes well with, you know, just what, like for me personally, and I think what your investors are trying to do is wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it.
That's great.
So that's the key to building wealth, right? Little by little.
They're one of the wisest guys that ever existed, that's for sure, definitely. And how about this one? This is kind of an interesting one. I don't know if you've had much thought on this, but let's say you lost absolutely everything, all your assets, and all you have left is what you know in your head and the contacts you have and $1,000 in cash. What would you do to relaunch your real estate business?
I would hire a virtual assistant. That's what I would do. I would hire a virtual assistant to, I would first of all gather a list with owner information, contact, hire a virtual assistant to then make cold calls and reach out to these owners, set appointments for me while I'm also doing the same thing. Try to double it.
Ah, that's good. Good. Good approach. Wow. Well, this has been really, really great. Some good information here. I'm sure there's folks that are listening and want to maybe hear more from you or ask you some questions. What would be the best way for folks to reach you, contact you?
Either way, phone or email, they could reach me at 310-965-1749. Or M. Hernandez, that's M-H-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z, that's at leelalb.com. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is right now I'm actually partnered with a senior broker in my office, and this guy, he knows his stuff. He's been doing brokerage for 40 years. So he focuses on industrial, but he also knows multifamily and office as well. And right now we're offering a complimentary professional broker opinion of value for industrial properties. You know, because of the demand and what's going on in the industrial market being so hot, you know, we want to reach out to these owners and, you know, inform them, let them know what their building's worth on a for sale and for lease basis. And if, you know, if someone wants more information on the industrial market, we put together a brief industrial report, which I'd be happy to email and send as well.
Got great stuff. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. Wow. Well, this has been awesome, Michael. I can't thank you enough. We have a tradition here, though. We'd like our guests to close us out with their best old hound dog howl. I'm sure you've been practicing all week, so you should be ready for this one. But are you ready to close us out with your howl?
You know, I am ready, and it's funny because I was practicing. Actually, was practicing with my son before putting him down to bed yesterday.
I love it. That's great. Well, let her rip.
All right, here we go.
All right. Good job. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate you being on. Great area here, and great just getting to know you.
Well, Bill, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you again for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Michael talked about today will be presented in detail in our extensive show notes at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Michael Hernandez. Well, that is the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.